The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This morning we're going to be in the book of John, chapter number 15. John, chapter number 15. John chapter 15. So as we look at these verses this morning, the beginning of this chapter, what we see is that Jesus is using an analogy of a vine, a branch, and a gardener in order to show what God expects of those that have believed in Jesus. And God expects that those that have believed in Jesus will bear fruit. And the verses that we're fixing to read tell us that if a branch does not produce fruit, he removes it. And he prunes every branch that does produce fruit so that it will produce more fruit. And as I was studying for this week and thinking about this, I was like, this isn't a difficult concept if you've done any gardening. Wednesday night, the youth group met and we worked on the gardens out here in the prayer garden. And Miss Mandy, she was organizing a lot of that, and she had collected everything and had people going in every direction. And so I was trying to stay out of the way, and I found the rose bush right there in the middle. And it was kind of overgrown, hanging forward. The thing that was growing on was out front, hanging over, you know, down low. And so I was trying to work with that bush to get it, you know, back up where you would want it and redo that. But I noticed that there were some pieces of it, some limbs that were just completely dead, probably been dead for a while. Well, I just didn't even care about those. I snapped them off, broke them off, got rid of all of that. And when I removed those, I didn't treat them like you would the rose flower. I didn't put them in a vase and take them to Miss Valley. I threw them away. We get rid of what's dead there. And even the, you know, pieces that were alive, you know, there were still some things that needed to be trimmed off of those, that pruning that's talked about, in order to grow more roses, in order to have a healthier rose bush. It's a simple concept in gardening, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. And just as when you plant a garden, you expect it to produce fruit, God expects that, you know, of believers as well. And he's going to prune our lives to produce fruit. So this morning the question is, how do we produce fruit? Look with me in John chapter 15 in verse number 1. John 15 verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, and every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you, just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for your word, and Father, that we can read it, Father, that we can study it, and Father, I would ask that you would help us to apply it in our day-to-day lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so a little bit to the point, as he says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he removes it. You know, I was talking before church a little bit with, you know, all of the different, you know, ways that that can be understood, but that's not really the point of what I'm wanting to discuss in this passage this morning. If you look at that, you would see that, you know, there were those that Jesus was talking to, even at this occasion with the disciples, like Judas, that he was part of the group. He was listening to what Jesus said, but he was not connected to the vine, and ultimately, you know, he would be removed, and we would see the fruit of his life as he would betray Christ. And so you see the ones that we moved there that were never connected to the vine. They were never a part of Christ. But also those that he, you know, prunes in order that they would bear more fruit. and the emphasis being on believers' lives bearing fruit. And this morning, I want us to see the command is found in verse number 4. He says, remain in me. I mean, we can spend a lot of time talking about what that removal process all looks like and what that means, but this morning I really want us to focus on those three words there in verse 4, remain in me. God expects us to bear fruit. If you've worked for an employer, if you've had a boss, you know, and maybe your job was sales or something like that, you know, a boss, they expect you to produce what? They want a profit. You know, a boss is saying, hey, what can you do to make my business more profitable? And, you know, as an employee, you can, you know, try all different types of things. You can work hard. You can work yourself to death. You can, you know, stress and be anxious about, hey, I'm trying to make a profit here to prove my worth. And God, he wants us to bear fruit. But it's different. The way that God sees things and the way God and Jesus here explain this, it's different from how we would think of it in and of ourselves. It's not that we're working, you know, and anxious and fretting and trying all of these things to prove to God that we can bear fruit. Instead, Jesus says, remain in me. The command is to remain in him. We cannot live the Christian life apart from Jesus. Just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Sometimes, you know, we think, oh, there's all of these things that we've got to do for Jesus to show our worth. And Jesus is saying, hey, just abide in me. The word abide, the word remain, remain in me. As you look at the you know, the garden there and the dead pieces of that plant, well, they're not doing anything. But when I snap them off and lay them to the side, they're definitely not going to do anything at that point. Our Christian life, we can't be effective in that. We can't do what God wants us to do if we're not remaining in him, if we're not abiding in him. If we're going to produce fruit, we must understand that we are the branch and Jesus is the vine. Sometimes I think we become overly concerned with what can we do, you know, and what can we accomplish. The reality is Jesus is the vine. He is the source. He is, you know, the one that gives us everything we need in order to live the Christian life. And we can't produce fruit by relying on our own strength. As believers, we're to be diligent students of the Word. We're to study the Word of God. We're to know what it says. We're to seek to apply the Word of God in our lives. But all of that studying doesn't make us smart enough to live the Christian life. We have to rely on Jesus. We require the vine. We require Jesus in order to produce fruit. God expects us to produce fruit, but he does not expect us to do it in our own strength, and he doesn't want us to become anxious and overly worried about producing fruit. The reality is, by remaining in the vine, we will naturally produce fruit. He expects us to produce fruit. The command that Jesus gives is that we remain in him. As you look at that word, remain, and like I said, that's where I want to focus our thoughts this morning, is on that word remain, remain in me. That word remain is mentioned 11 times in this passage. John uses the word remain 40 times in this gospel, and then he uses it another 27 times in his epistle. So John talks about this idea of abiding, this idea of remaining in Christ. He talks about it quite a bit. It suggests an effortless resting in the Lord. I found where William MacDonald said, to abide or to remain, it means to stay where you are. The Christian has been placed in Christ. That is his position. In daily walk, he should stay in intimate fellowship with God. A branch abides in the vine by drawing all of its life and nourishment from the vine. So we abide in Christ by spending time in prayer, reading and obeying his word, fellowshipping with his people, and being continually conscious about our union with him. We're to abide in him. We're to rest in him. What is the result of obedience to this command. The command that Jesus gives is to remain in me. What's the result of that? Well, the result of that, there's a couple of things, but the believer will produce much fruit. We could try to come up with a formula for how we're going to be the best Christian and produce the most fruit. Well, we're going to fail. The reality is we produce fruit simply by remaining in Christ. Verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Jesus emphasized that the believer can only produce fruit by remaining in him. Now, what is it that this fruit looks like? As I've read this passage before and I've studied this, you know, there's been times that I looked at this producing fruit, you know, to speak specifically of evangelism. And hey, to see fruit would be to see other believers come to know Christ. And that's good. But as I was studying this and preparing for this morning, I think what Jesus is focusing more on here is simply that that fruit that he's referring to is Christ. Likeness, that we would be more like him. The only way believers can bear the fruit of a Christ-like character is by living in touch with Christ moment by moment. We have to stay in him in order to be Christ-like. And if we are abiding in him, then we will be more like Christ. As you think about that, even with evangelism, if you say evangelism is to bear fruit and to see other people come to know Christ because of our witness, because of our outreach, and you say, well, that is fruit. Well, again, we can only do that by abiding in the vine. It starts with us abiding in him and being more Christ-like, and then others see that and come to know Christ because of our example, because we're being image bearers for Christ. If we focus on this passage completely with bearing fruit means that we make disciples, bearing fruit just means evangelism, I think we'll be doomed for failure because we can focus on evangelism, we can focus on telling people about Jesus, but if our life doesn't look like Christ, if we don't have the Christ-likeness, you know, in our own life, we're going to have a very difficult time bringing people to him. We have to have it in the right order. We abide in the vine. We abide in Christ. We get our nourishment from him. And then as he gives us that nourishment we need in order to be more like him, we'll have a greater opportunity to have an impact on a lost world around us. But if we're not abiding in the vine, it doesn't matter how much we tell people they need to go to church. They need to hear the gospel. We can confront them with it, but if we don't have the love of Christ, we're going to have a very difficult time being effective in that. Verse 8 indicates to us that bearing fruit brings glory to the Father, and it demonstrates the believer's relationship to Christ. As believers, we should desire that our life brings glory to God. Jesus has saved us, and all that God has done for us, we should desire that everything about our lives lifts up who God is and points people to him. A couple of questions with this. Does your life bring glory to God? And does your life demonstrate that you have a relationship with Christ? I can't judge a person's salvation. I can't tell you, hey, I know these people are saved. I know these people are faking it. I can't tell you where a person is with Christ. Only you and God know where that is and where that faith is. But as we look at our actions, as we look at our lives, does it show our relationship with Christ? Can the world around us see that there's something different because we're abiding in Christ? The other thing that we see as we abide in Christ, one of the results is that the believer will produce much fruit. The other thing is that the believer will have an effective prayer life. Verse number seven says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. As you look at this passage, and I've said before when we talk about prayer, you know, God isn't to be treated like some, you know, genie that you just rub the lamp, say, this is what I want, and he gives you all your wishes. That's not what prayer is. That's not how we should approach prayer. Yet Jesus says in this, hey, if you're doing what I tell you, if you're remaining in me, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. What's Jesus saying? Well, I want to point out that if we're abiding in Christ, our wants will reflect his wants. If we're abiding in him, if we're walking with him, if we're, you know, where we need to be in our Christian life, then his will and our will is going to be much closer aligned. Since his prayer is in accord with God's will, the results are certain. Jesus says it will be given to you. Simply by abiding in Christ, it aligns our will closer to his will. And so he says it will be given. Fulfilled prayer brings glory to the Father because, like Jesus, his disciples are doing the Heavenly Father's will. So Jesus wasn't saying, hey, you know, this is the secret formula. If you just abide in me, I'll give you $1 million. If you just abide in me, I'll give you, you know, a new yacht. He's not telling us that. But as we're abiding in him, as we're, you know, where we need to be in relationship with him, our will be closer to his will and will be more effective in our prayer life. So my question this morning is, are you abiding in Christ? Are you looking to him for that nourishment to make it through the day? You know, we look at the world around us and living with, you know, the COVID stuff and all of these other things that are happening in our world, all of these things that are happening around us, and people are like, hey, you know, how are you surviving? How are you coping? How are you surviving in a very difficult time? Well, for the believer, it should be the same now as it was a couple years ago, whenever normal used to be. It should be the same as it's always been. We should be abiding in Christ. Does that mean that we don't experience the difficult days that everybody else experiences? No, we're going to experience difficult days. But we can abide in him. We can continue to draw that nourishment in our Christian life from him. We ought to become more like Christ as we continue to remain in him. The example that we see in Christ, the attitude that Christ had, the patience that Christ had with other people. And there were times that Jesus, even his patience, you know, kind of ran short as he was dealing with people that were being stubborn and trying to, you know, pick a quarrel. But when it came to people in, you know, genuine need, Jesus was always patient with them. If we're abiding in Christ, you know, we're going to have patience that we don't normally have. We're going to have compassion that we wouldn't normally have. Are we abiding in him? Are we remaining in him? I'm going to ask if you'd stand with me this morning. It's easy to see what it looks like for a bush. You say, well, I can tell you that plant's not going to do very good. It's no longer connected to the vine. There's no root structure. It's not going to survive. Yet somehow I think we can go through our Christian lives and say, well, we'll get that nourishment from the root structure later. We'll read our Bible later. We'll spend time in prayer later. And we continue to deprive ourselves what we need in order to bear fruit and to be more Christ-like. Let's pray. Father God, I ask that you would be with us this morning, Father, that you would give us just, Father, a moment here to consider our own hearts, Father, to take inventory of our own lives, and Father, this command that Jesus gave to abide, to remain in him. And Father, I ask that you would convict us, Father, that you would draw us closer to you, Father, that we would take this seriously, not today, but throughout the week. Father, that it would have a change in our life, that people around us would be able to see what you've done in our lives. And Father, that it would bring glory to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.